Gabe that plays with him used to play with the Killer Bees here in town, who had a player named Bobby Boucher. Yes, Bobby Boucher.
Yeah, Adam Sandler played in this league.
They're great. It's awesome. I can't wait to watch it. I really can't.
I'm the same way. I cannot wait to see this. And I mean, he sounded very confident. Like this is going to be a $15,000 win.
I'm telling you, these guys have been playing in this system for so long. He could do this in his sleep.
Well, we're going to get him back in here for an hour if they win the whole thing and they win the $1 million. They play the championship for the $1 million.
So he's
at this point, what, three wins away from playing the pro team for the $1 million.
Yeah. It's happened before back when we played. Our quarterback, Tommy Counts, went to Columbia Academy. One of the best athletes I've been around in my entire life on any single level. He's not a big guy either. It looks a lot like Chris. And we would go and play teams and they would look at him and be like, this is an easy one. Nope. They've been doing that to Chris for 30 years now.
Well, it's not that Chris looks, he's not a very big guy. It's not that he looks unathletic.
Right. He's just not what you would.
I'd expect. Yeah. Like, I'm looking forward to watching this game live.
I expect him to make it to the
final. I've seen the clips, but I'm looking forward to watching a complete game to see what happens. Now, does he play defense also?
Yeah. I think everyone has to play
defense. Yeah, I feel like you have to play both ways, right? Man, what a story. So, segue here, stories. We just talked about a cool story, a fresh story, a new story with this American Flag Football League, and we had Chris Hughes in studio. I want to know a story that just at this point borderline makes you want to turn the channel. Whatever you're watching, whatever you're listening to, you just can't stomach this story anymore. Maybe it's a debate that's ongoing. Maybe it's an actual piece of investigative journalism that continues to happen. Something in sports that you just say, I'm tired of hearing about this. This also, we do this from time to time. We'll put out poll questions about our show. We'll put out a survey about our show. This is good constructive criticism for us. We work in sports media. We talk about sports for 4 hours a day. I like to hear your honest thoughts on what you don't want to hear about. Now, again, I reserve the right to come back and say, if you're tired of hearing about the Titans, well, this is Nashville, Tennessee. You're going to hear about the Titans on a Nashville sports talk show, so we can't really change that. But something you're just tired of hearing about, 615-737-1045. We call this a burial, a midday 180 burial. If we all agree, we'll bury it. We've buried the LeBron James versus Michael Jordan discussion because it's tired and it's old. We officially buried that on the show. If there is a phrase that's thrown out there far too often, we will do we'll make our best effort to bury that phrase or bury this idea that's out there about a sport or a coach or a player. So many examples out there for you. Load up those phone lines right now, 615-737-1045, 737-1045. It's a midday 180 burial. We got Clay Travis coming up at 1 o'clock today. We're going to bury a sports story or an idea that you don't want to hear anything else about. I'm going to give you an example to get this thing going. I'm tired of hearing about the eventual demise of the New England Patriots. Whether that be because of Dr. Guerrero, I don't know if the guy's an actual MD, like the offensive lineman for the Chiefs. I don't care if it's about Guerrero and Brady. I don't care if it's about Bill Belichick being overly demanding or not forthcoming with some of his decisions. I don't care about Rob Gronkowski and his partying. The Patriots, I understand that we have to cover. They're a very important sports entity. They're a dynasty that we have to cover. And the greatness of Bill Belichick, we have to cover. The greatness of Tom Brady, we have to cover. I'd rather hear about Tom Brady's diet and avocado ice cream than discuss how the Patriots are going to fall apart. It is old. It is tired. It is time for that whole storyline to go away. There's one example for you. There's other ones out there. There are phrases out there that kills me. And I'm gonna pick on one broadcaster. And I hesitate to do this because I think this broadcaster is actually very good, but it kills me. Basketball announcers who describe everything within 7 feet as a layup. Mike Breen did this throughout the NBA Finals. It would be like a floater from 8 feet away. Layup up, no good. I'm thinking, it's not a layup. If you're not at the rim and you're either dunking it or laying it off the backboard, it's not a layup. A floater from 5 feet's not a layup.
I noticed that for the first time this year. Had that been going on for a while? Because I thought the same exact thing.
He's guilty of that too many times, and he's very good at play-by-play. It's the one thing that kills me repeatedly is you hear constantly, layup, good, and it's like a Tristan Thompson 7-foot jumper. It's not a layup at all.
I mean, a layup to me is going off a backboard.
Yeah,
right?
It's almost like he considers everything within 15 feet in front of the free throw line a layup. And it's not at all. Those are difficult
shots.
That's
true. I never hit a layup in my life.
Yeah, floater, no good. You know, putback attempt, no good from 6 feet. But it's not a layup. This is where we're going to miss John Ward also, who could accurately describe everything that was happening in both football and basketball. Give us something that you want to bury, a sports story out there, a phrase, an idea, a debate that you've heard far too often that you want to bury. This is like the classic barroom debate with your buddies where you sit there and say, why do they call it this? Why do people say this about this person? Why is this even a thing? We are burying things today that you're asking yourself, why is this even a thing? 615-737-1045. Reed, I know you have
this
one.
This is kind of out of the box, and it's something that seems to pop up this time of year, especially because, I mean, look, it's the sports vacuum in the summer months. All we really have going on is baseball, and this is going to be sacrilege to a lot of people, but I'm tired of hearing about Pete Rose needing to be in the Hall of Fame. I understand the argument. I want Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. I think Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But to bring it up year after year after year, when we have the same information and nothing is happening, there's no movement in getting Pete Rose towards the Hall of Fame. It's beating a dead horse until there's nothing left but horse hide and sinew. Like, there is no need to have this discussion year after year. And I think it's at this point, it may be actually hurting his chances of getting into the Hall of Fame.
And what's sad about this debate about Pete Rose, it should be making me care more about the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yes, it makes me care less.
I don't even care anymore. I don't care if he gets it. I don't care who gets in the Baseball Hall of Fame, all because of Pete Rose. I feel like the intended, if you're going to debate it constantly, if you're baseball, you want people to think more and more about the Hall of Fame and who's a Hall of Famer, who deserves to be there. To me, it's the opposite effect. I end up hearing this constantly ad nauseum, and I'm thinking, I don't even care who's in the Hall of Fame anymore. That's how little I care about the Pete Rose story and whether or not he should be in the Hall of Fame. It's ridiculous. We're going to have a sports burial. What should be buried in sports right now? 737-1045, 737-1045. Let's go to Billy on line one to get us started. Hey, Billy.
Hey there. How are you?
Great. Thanks for calling.
I would just like to bury LeBron James once and for all and stop hearing about him in whatever context it's coming from.
Like any story about LeBron James, you're tired of it. Him being the greatest of all time, him versus Michael Jordan, where he's going to end up, you don't want to hear about it.
Don't want to hear about it. He really turned me off on that one interview they did with him where he said, I did my part. And they lost. That, you know, that's just so selfish. I just am tired of it.
You talking about after game one?
You know, I don't remember what game it was, but he made the comment that he did his part, and he put his team on his back. And he's a great athlete. He's right, but the arrogance of it, just tired of it.
Billy, thanks for the call.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of LeBron hatred out there. I get some of it. I don't get all of it. I think naturally also we're inclined to hate the greatest at that time and to probably root against them. You root for Chris Hughes and not Mike Vick, for instance, if they're going head-to-head.
Oh,
the
guy
we just had in studio, so there's a little bit of that. I don't know there's any way to bury LeBron James talk, though.
I don't think there is either, but I get where he's coming from. I find myself forgetting why I disliked him because legitimately this dude is the greatest player in his sport, in his game right now. And I should be appreciating what he's doing. But there's just something about the personality, I think, his on-the-court personality, despite of all his great play and what he can do on a basketball court that no other human being can do, turns me off to him. And I get tired of hearing about it. Couldn't care less where he goes.
Yeah, no, it's I get it. And there's got to be, I get it also, the fatigue, the LeBron fatigue about every story, everything he's involved with. Impossible to completely eliminate any talk of LeBron, though, that's for sure. 615-737-1045. Chris and Franklin and everyone else who's on the line, we're going to get to when we come back. It's a burial. what needs to be buried in sports? A topic, a debate, a line of thinking, something you're tired of hearing. We're going to bury some more things when we come back. This is the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's.
You've heard me recommend People's Home Equity when it's time for your first home loan. They help families in Middle Tennessee purchase their first home, and it can be your turn. People who have wanted to buy a home have been unable to save up for the down payment. Maybe you're someone who's been renting instead of owning. It's time to call Michael Hampton and the Hampton Group. They have news recently released by the state, up to $15,000 in down payment assistance. If saving up for the down payment has been keeping you with the rent payment each month instead of your house payment, you need to give them a visit online right now from the office. 812loan.com is the website. 812loan.com. They're going to help you. I've heard from listeners who called Michael Hampton for their very first home loan, and then they told me they kept coming back for all of their mortgage needs as their family and home needs changed. That's because they will tailor make a mortgage to fit your individual needs. Whether you're a first-time home buyer, if you're in the military, if you're in need now of a $500,000 jumbo loan, they use an individualized approach to assess your needs, and they dominate on all fronts with a winning team. No one can provide the quality and the speed that you'll receive from Michael Hampton and the Hampton Group because everything is in-house with them. They have a team of professionals with over 75 years of experience on their side. Get started down the path of home ownership. You could close as early as 10 days from today. 615-812-LOAN is that easy-to-remember number. 812-LOAN. You can also find them online, 812loan.com. Subject to credit and underwriting approval, equal housing lender, license number 63371.
Time. Hall of Fame discussion, just all of it go away. I'm going with any talk of the Patriots and whatever's going to be their demise. Whether that be Guerrero and Brady versus Belichick or Rob Gronkowski, whatever. All of it can go away. Let's go to your calls now. Let's go to Chris to lead us off in this segment. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Love the show. And just a heads up, I hope you all have a great 4th of July.
Yeah, same to you, Chris. Thank you so much.
Listen, I am sick and tired of listening to the national anthem debate. Should we let the players stand? Kneel, or should we have them stand? We should have them stand, okay? Do I believe in free speech and protesting? Yes. Do I believe that you can do that on your employer time clock? No. Stand, stop complaining, and let's bury it. Guys, thanks for the call, and I hope you have a great day. Thank you.
Well, and to go to your point there, the NBA requires players to stand. And last I checked, the NBA players, they also spend a lot of time exercising their free speech. They can talk about the president. They can talk about politicians. They can talk about things they don't like as much as they want. And that is their right to do. And that is fine. And it's great. It's America. And they also stand for the national anthem. And here's the other thing about this anthem debate. I totally agree with you. I wish it would go away. It's going to start right back up when games start being played. The moment someone doesn't show up out of that tunnel, we're going to take calls on this show about it. People are going to start calling about it. And that is the fact of it. And I hate it. Let's go to Franklin next. Franklin, what should be buried?
Oh, this must be Bill. Okay, yeah. The word foul pronounced with two syllables. It's one syllable. I went to public schools, but they were pretty good teachers. People, everybody, Joe Buck, everybody on baseball, basketball, it is a foul every time they call it. I can't stand it. One syllable.
Foul, not foul, you're saying.
That is correct.
All right, thanks for the call. Franklin, Bill, whatever your name is. Foul, not foul. I think that's just overly pronouncing it. I don't believe that Joe Buck or anyone thinks that it's two syllables. They're just trying to space it out.
That's just people talking their professional broadcasting.
Yes, that is a foul ball.
Foul ball?
Yes.
Oh, I even said it the right way. Sorry. Foul ball.
Or you're like trying to completely enunciate it, not like a bird, foul. You're trying to put the U in there, foul. That's a personal foul on the play. That's difficult to say five times fast. Let's go to Taft on line one, who's got one for us. Taft, what should be buried?
You've got to bury baseball coaches wearing the uniforms.
It's a bad look, but it's also one of those, Taft, that I sort of appreciate in a weird way. Now, the managers get away with it now, if you notice they wear like the pullover for pretty much the entire game, so they look different from the players. But, yeah, it's certainly an old custom.
And the contention for me is I get tradition. I'm cool with that. But I coach travel baseball now, and these coaches are wearing the uniforms in travel baseball.
That's too much.
It's ridiculous.
My buddy is a large man. He's in the same tournament Paul is in this week, and he's a coach for the Mount Juliet team in the state tournament. He's in full uniform. He was telling me yesterday he's going to have to be out there in full uniform, and I'm thinking, that's just too much. Taft, I appreciate the call.
I will say this in defense of all those coaches who are out there wearing the uniform. Baseball pants are awful comfortable.
They can
They're
be.
They're very comfortable.
Not as comfortable when it's 95 and sunny outside. Yeah. But
give me shorts.
They can be, yeah. Like the baseball pant for the man being comfortable is how we can understand women saying that yoga pants are the most comfortable thing in the world. Like you look at something really tight and guys would never think, oh, that's comfortable. Yeah. But women always tell you, oh, it's the most comfortable thing in the world to wear. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I was always comfortable in my baseball pants, so maybe there's something to it.
I still wear mine from time to time.
You need to wear those in one day, Reed.
I'll do it.
Come full uniform.
You know, they say dress for the job you want, not the job you have. So if I come in here dressed like Anthony Rizzo one day.
Come in dressed like a dad who's coaching a Little League state tournament. That's you're closer to that than Anthony Rizzo if you wear the full uniform. Let's go to David next. David, welcome in. You're on the Midday 180.
Yeah, hey, yeah. I hope y'all are having a great day and happy Forest. Mine's more of a local issue. It's not really talked about that much on sports radio. I don't think it gets as much coverage as it should, but the positive aspect. But the debate about the fairgrounds versus the racetrack people versus the soccer stadium, things change. Our city is a growing city, and I used to have a race team, and I raced at Nashville for years. I've sort of fallen away from the sport. The building out there is very dilapidated. All the buildings are. They're falling apart. And our city is growing, and we're building new and modern, and soccer is hot. And they're not going to tear down the racetrack, and they may get some benefits of having a soccer stadium next to them. I don't understand why these people keep fighting over and over saying, no soccer, no soccer, keep our fairgrounds. What fairgrounds? There's no fair there anymore. I mean, it's old buildings. They have a flea market, and that's all great and good, but man, it's ugly. It's time to modernize like the rest of Nashville.
David, appreciate the call, man. I get your point. I think it's less, though, about soccer versus racing as it is how people want their tax money spent. I don't think it's necessarily what's better, racing or soccer? And it's more, well, can you use that money that you're going to spend on a soccer stadium on something else?
I mean, my big
like schools.
My big contingent still is I want the soccer stadium. I just don't think I want it there.
Yeah,
but if that brings upgrades to that facility, which I still use, I'm kind of on the fence there.
If a rising tide does in fact raise all boats, then it's okay.
It's true.
Let's go to Neil. Neil, welcome in.
Hey guys, what a great day this is. I want to bury anything to do with T.O. What an honor it is to be in the Hall of Fame, and the fact that he's not going. Let's move on. And Dennis Rodman in North Korea. I don't want to hear about it.
The Dennis Rodman North Korea thing is a great one, because now whenever we hear Dennis Rodman, we're not going to think about one of the greatest rebounders in NBA history. We're going to think about him and Kim Jong-un.
Nobel Peace Prize winner.
Yeah, like Dennis Rodman is helping facilitate a summit between the United States and North Korea. That's all we're going to think about. Let's get one last in because it's so good. Alex has a great burial on line 5. Hey, Alex, welcome in.
Hey, guys. I'm glad you like it because I think it's a good one. It's could Alabama
beat
insert X NFL team? No, they can't. Just to bum out all the Bammers, they would get crushed. And I fully acknowledge that they're the best. They're basically a mini NFL franchise, but they ain't beating anybody in the NFL. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
I appreciate the call. And not just that, let's extend it to everything. Whoever the Bama is in any college sport, if there is a legitimate pro league that's the best in the world, let's eliminate X college team. Could they beat X pro team at any point?
Look, I understand the debate, and it is asinine, but when